All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. Your weekend. Ours was fantastic. I'd rate it a strong A minus. The only reason it's a minus, small little bump in the road involving one of my kids. Certainly not going to get into it, but that knocked it down from an A to an A minus. But other than that, spectacular weather. I mean, just beautiful. I mean, you couldn't order it. If they had weather on Amazon, and you could read all the reviews of it, you couldn't order through Amazon a better weather. Amazon couldn't sell you better weather than this. So, I mean, it's like sunny. It's warm, but it's not super humid. It's not buggy. It's not super buggy yet. There's a little bit of bug action going on out there, but it's not anything to make you crazy. And Tony and I sat out on the deck last night. We had all that yard work done, so it's like it's wonderful, you know? You don't have to feel guilty about anything. You're not like, oh, God, I need to go down there and cut those bushes, you know? You don't have to worry about that. That's not even, you know, the neighbors are, you know, that, I don't know what, I'm sure they can find something to bitch about. But I don't know what it would be. They'd just be manufacturing stuff because there's nothing to bitch about. Everything's beautiful. The yard looks fantastic. And if they don't like it, they can stuff it. By the way, the guy that was working on our yard, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last one, but he goes, he came up to Tony and goes, I don't know what's going on, but I think we made that woman next door mad. Tony said, what? What happened? He said, well, she's looking out the window with this, you know, really angry look on her face. Tony's like, that's just, don't even, that's just the way she is. I mean, this woman is perpetually pissed off. They're like out there yelling at each other all the time. They absolutely hate my guts, but I don't want to get into all that. I've had issues with them in the past. We don't talk, you know, there's like a, you know, they exist over there. We exist over here, and we don't interact at all. So, anyway, even when we're having work done, to make their life better, right? That's their complaint. They want everything to be perfect, like their yard. Well, you know, our yard looks fine, but I'm not going to be out there 24 hours a day raking like a maniac in a half shirt, you know. So anyway, he goes, well, I think she's angry with us. Tony's like, don't worry about it. You know. So anyway, we're out on the deck drinking this beer called, I have one right here. It's called Trogues Field Study IPA. Trogues is a brewery up here in the, I think they're in Hershey. They make some good stuff. This Field Study, I don't know what they used. I don't know what kind of hops they used, but man, what a concoction. It's like one of the best. I never had it before. I think it's brand new. Tony bought a six-pack of it yesterday. And, man, that stuff is kicking. I'm not talking about alcohol content. I'm just talking about the taste of it. Really, really good. And maybe one of the best, you know. I don't want to get into hyperbole, but possibly one of the best. So this is the last one of the six-pack. Let me take a hit off this thing. Oh man, that is fantastic. So anyway, we sat out on the deck. It was great. Both the kids were at work. The weather was beautiful. Ah, it was just fantastic. That guy did all that work. Him and his team took him 12 hours. I don't know if I mentioned this. I can't remember what I mentioned, but they said it was going to take 2 days, possibly 3 days, but they got it all done in 1 day. However, They worked for 12 hours from right before 9 o'clock in the morning to right before 9 o'clock at night. And they never stopped. Just constant work the whole through the 12 hours. Okay, that's great. They did a fantastic job. I have no complaints. However, the guy decided, for whatever reason, this is after I went to work. I went to work at 1 o'clock that day. After I left at some point, he went to Tony and said, I don't think we should put mulch to the left of the front door. We should only put it to the right. So they talked about it, and he convinced her that that was the proper you know, route to take. By the time I found out about it, hours later, you know, it was a done deal. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to look good. I think it's going to look half done, you know. So when I got home, I checked it out, and it looks half done. So on Saturday, we went and bought 17 bags of mulch and did it ourselves. We rolled out that plastic stuff, you know, you're supposed to put down for weed suppression. Put these little green stakes in the ground, like held it down, and we had that thing covered. And then we put 17 bags, and I put the bags out, you know, placed them where they're approximately where they needed to be. And then I went down the line with my my old Fast Check box cutter. It's a box cutter that I used when I was like, you know, 20 years old, when I worked at a Fast Check, a grocery store in West Virginia. I mean, this thing's from like 1983. I'm not kidding. I still have it. I use it all the time. And I took my old Fast Check box cutter, sliced open every one of those bags and flipped them over. And then we used rakes to even it out. Man, it looks beautiful. And now it doesn't look half done. However, we spent like tons of money, in my opinion, and we still had to do some of the work. Whatever. Not real happy, but you know, it wasn't that bad. It took us an hour, maybe 1 hour of physical work. The worst part was carrying the bags from the car over to where they needed to be. And I did all 17 of them, by the way. And I was like sweating, you know. The next day I woke up and I was like, my muscles are aching, you know. So I did 1 hour of work. Those guys did 12. There were four of them. And they probably worked, you take any of the hours of those 12, compared it against the 1 hour that I worked yesterday, or whatever day it was, and I have a feeling they worked harder times 12, you know, than I did. And I was, you know, fairly destroyed by the whole ordeal. But we got it done. It looks great. The whole house looks fantastic. And the neighbors, you know, they don't have anything to bitch about. I'm sure they can come up with something. They're very, very resourceful. You know, when it comes to bitching and complaining, they're very resourceful. And they're very creative. So, yeah, they could stick it up their ass. You know, I don't care. So we sat out on the deck, drank those field study IPAs. Beautiful weather. Oh, man. It was an A. At that point, it was an A. Well, you know, that part of the weekend was definitely an A. And then there was other parts that, you know, knocked it down to an A minus that, you know, we're not going to talk about. But anyway, I hope your weekend was as good as ours. This is the second weekend in a row that we did some, you know, some physical stuff, which is not, you know, I'm not real, you know, I probably should do more of it. And it's great. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like progress is being made, and you feel, I don't know, some kind of self-satisfaction, which I'm not familiar with. It's not something I'm real familiar with, this satisfaction of a job well done, you know. That's something that's outside my realm of expertise. Over the weekend, I also watched the final episode of Chernobyl. Have you seen this? It's over on HBO, home box office, in case you're getting confused. I don't want to use these little jaunty little abbreviations. HBO stands for home box office. You know what I'm saying? It was a five-part miniseries about the, you know, the nuclear meltdown back in 1986. Soviet Union. It was in the Ukraine, but back when the Soviets ran that whole area. Yeah, it was like, it didn't paint, you know, the thing didn't paint the Soviets in a very positive light, you know. And this is HBO. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not going to do some hatchet job, you know. But they basically, it portrayed them as caring more about what the world thought of them than caring about their citizens, you know. They didn't tell them anything was going on, you know. For one thing, it was caused by half-assery, you know. Safety measures were half done because it was too expensive to do it the right way. So they're saving money, and they got people in there making bad decisions, you know. And the whole thing melted down, and they didn't want the world to know about it. They thought they might be able to keep it a secret, you know. And so they didn't tell, and they didn't evacuate anything because that would set off alarms. Other countries would see what's going on. They start asking questions. But then when that big nuclear, you know, the radioactive cloud drifts over into, like, Germany and, you know, the Scandinavian countries and all that, they're like, hey, what the hell's going on, you know? So they couldn't hide it, but then they downplayed it, you know, just telling stories and propaganda, you know. And they didn't evacuate that town, so all these people were just like, okay, that cloud drifts all the way over to Germany. Germany detects it, and they will not even let their kids leave their house, you know, the houses, and they're hundreds of miles away, many hundreds of miles away. And then, but in the town where the reactor is, the kids are, you know, out there playing, shows them out there playing, you know, soccer and going to school and stuff. So nothing was done with those kids that are literally right beside the nuclear reactor, but 1,000 miles away in Germany, or I don't know how many miles it is, but you know what I'm saying, they're all on lockdown. So you know, there's all this, it doesn't paint them in a very positive light, and it's really good. The early episodes, probably the first four actually, definitely the first three, are gut-wrenching, man, you know. There's a scene, there's a segment of this thing, but they have to get all this graphite off the roof of this building. They have to shove it. They try to build this, or they do build this, like, robot. It's like a robotic, I don't know what you call it, but it was designed to just shove everything off the side into the middle of the core, where the core was, and they needed all that stuff off the roof. So they built this machine. It was like a bulldozer type thing that they could, you know, control remotely. And so they had it built in Germany, I think, somewhere like the communist side of Berlin or something. You know what I'm saying? And so they had this thing. They dropped it in with a helicopter. And they turned it on, and immediately all the electronics just burned up in it because of all the radiation, you know. So it just fried everything. The thing would not work. It's just sitting up there. So they got this idea that they would, you know, they just go out into the countryside, get these bumpkins, basically. Yeah, you know, just send them up there. They figured if they were exposed to it for, you know, 90 seconds at a time, they wouldn't do them much harm, you know. So they took them up there. It's like a bunch of guys, and they went out there with snow shovels, basically, and just like shoveled that stuff off. And they sent teams of like five or six at a time out there, and they cleaned it off eventually, 90 seconds at a time. I don't know, every one of them probably died of cancer. It didn't say, but. But there was a scene, things should win some kind of an Emmy award, where it lasted 90 seconds. It was like a handheld, they had a handheld camera. So it feels like you're part of it, and there's a Geiger counter in the background, and it fluctuates, goes up and down. Every time they get close to the edge, which is right where the core of the reactor is, it starts ticking up, you know. And, man, that is intense. That is, like, one of the best segments of TV ever. And so the thing's really, really good. Great, you know. But there's a scene in one of the episodes, I think it's maybe like episode 3, where they have these camps of like people that are there to help, you know, maybe military, I don't know. They have this trench built up. It's inside of a tent, but it's a trench dug in the ground, and there's a tent built over it, and it's for shitting purposes, you know. They have this bar that's maybe like, I don't know, 2 feet off the ground, and it just runs the length of this trench, and these guys just back up to this thing, sit on this bar, hang their ass over, and just shit into this trench. And they're like sitting on this thing shoulder to shoulder. And I mean, it's like horrifying. Of all the atrocities, you see guys on there just like their skin's bubbling up from all this exposure to radiation. They're shedding their skin like a snake, you know. And I mean, it's like all this horrible stuff. The thing that stuck out in my mind so far is that open shitting trench with the ass bar, you know? Like, holy, and these guys are like backing up to this thing. They're like sitting with their ass. Oh man, that is troubling. So anyway, the Soviets aren't around anymore, but it's the Russians, same people, literally the same people, some of them. They're not real happy about this HBO depiction, you know, of this problem that they had back in the 80s. They're not real happy with the way it was depicted, so they're going to make their own version of it. And they promised to blame the CIA. They've already said that it's the CIA that caused that problem. It wasn't half-assery on their part. They weren't just trying to pinch pennies, you know. None of that's true, you know. It was sabotaged by the CIA. So they're going to come up with their own version of it, supposedly, and should be interesting. I have a feeling it's not anything like... Oh, at the end of the thing, it said... it had all these statistics, you know, at the very last. And the thing said that there was believed that 93,000 people have died as a result of this nuclear accident. And the Soviet number, the number of people who died, according to the Soviet Union, which has never been changed since 1986, is 31. So 93,000 is what the estimated real life toll was. According to the Soviet Union, 31 people died as a result of it. So you can see there's quite the discrepancy. But anyway, that was great. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, you should definitely watch it. It's like really good. I'm like one of the best. So check it out over on the home box office. Also, this weekend we bought a Tony on a whim. We're doing stuff on a whim all of a sudden. Man, we've never lived like this before. Everything we've ever done up to this point is we've thought about, we've done research on it, we've discussed it. We're just going, especially her, I don't know what's going on. She has said, we were talking, I was talking to my brother, and he was talking about how, you know, his brother-in-law, I guess, I don't know, and his brother-in-law and his husband, I think, were over in Europe looking at, you know, where the family originated in Italy, you know. And my brother was saying, you know, our family, we can't figure out where we originated from because we have such a long history inside the United States. It's hard. It goes way, way back to like the Mayflower days. I'm not saying we came over on the Mayflower, but back, you know, way back. So he says it's very difficult to figure out exactly our country of origin for our branch of the K family. So I was talking to Tony about that, and she goes, you know, we should do one of those DNA kits. And I said, hell yeah, we should. And it's something we've talked about before. And I said, they cost like $100 each, though. And she goes, yeah, sometimes they're on sale. She picks up her tablet, checks it out, and it says, Ancestry, buy one, get one free. The kits are, you know, instead of $120 or whatever the price is, they're $60 each. So, well, $120 and then you get one free, right? $60 each. So she goes, I'm going to go ahead and order two of them. I was like, what the? well, what's this new Tony that's taking hold here? Anyway, so she ordered them, and they should be coming soon, and it'd be interesting to see what it. My brother had one of those done. It was some kind of a company I never heard of. There's Ancestry, and then there's 23andMe, right? His was like Jim's DNA Hut or something. I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't know what it was. Something I've never heard of. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just I've never heard of it, and I don't know anything about any of that stuff. So I want to see how mine meshes up with his results. I think his said, I don't know, I can't even remember what it said. It says, I think it was like Scotland, I think, basically. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on, see how ours compare. And Tony's all, you know, she's big time Italian, so I assume it'll be Italy, and supposedly she has some of that American Indian, according to her dad, which I'm highly skeptical about. We'll see. We'll see what that, you know, it'll probably, we'll see what happens. I want to see how much American Indian she has, and also I want to see how much Italian, because my mom's family is Italian, so it'll probably be, if I had to guess, it'll be England or Scotland. You know, with a little Italian, a little smattering of Italian, topped with a little marinara. You know what I'm saying? England, Scotland, some marinara. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see the way it comes out. I also told Tony that I'm going to pretend that I didn't understand the directions, and I'm gonna take a shit. I'm gonna shit in that test tube. Mail it back to him instead of spit. And I'm going to say that I thought it said shit instead of spit. I don't know. I have a feeling if you worked at that place where people send their DNA samples back, I bet you'd get all kinds of fun stuff in the mail. You know, I bet it wouldn't be unusual that you got stool samples back and maybe sperm samples. You know, are you doubting that? I bet, you know, if I did that, it seems funny to me. It makes me laugh. That kind of stuff makes me laugh. However, I bet they wouldn't even make them blink an eye at that Ancestry inbound facility, you know. I bet they get all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, as soon as that thing comes back in, I'm going to spit in that thing, send her back out in the mail, and then I'm going to be in some kind of database. We watched this Dateline a few weeks ago. Where these two little girls got, they disappeared, never found them, you know. Well, I don't know, I think they found their bodies years later, but they never solved the murder. And they assumed, because they were roughly the same age, they looked alike, they were in the same town, and they were, you know, it happened like a couple months apart. They assumed that one person did both of them. Turns out some cold case detective, started looking into it and figured out somehow that it was actually two people. It was like they weren't related, you know. And so the guy just kept digging and digging. It might have been a woman. I think it was a woman. She just kept digging and digging, and she found she solved one of the cases by 23andMe. So the guy killed this little girl back in the 70s. And now he's just like some regular guy. I don't understand how that happens. How do you kill somebody? You're like some kind of maniac in the 70s. And now you're just like, you know, apparently that's the only time that ever happened or something. It's like an aberration. This little, I just went out one day and murdered somebody. And yeah, it's just a one-off, you know. Seems weird to me. But anyway, the guy's like just married and has kids and everything. It's just living some normal life, did one of those DNA things. Somehow this woman, like, got this forensic scientist in there, because they won't give you, like, access to all the details of it, but they give you enough. So she was able to figure out that the guy's last name was probably this person, you know? I don't know. So she was able to figure out, with the little bit of information that they give out to the public, that the guy's last name was probably whatever it was. So this detective went back to all the, you know, where they interviewed people back in the 70s, And there was an eyewitness, or just some guy, not an eyewitness, but just some person that was, you know, that lived in the area that they talked to, you know. And they never considered this person as any kind of, like, possible, you know, murderer or anything. I mean, they just interviewed and nothing came of it. So she went back and found the guy, and they did the real DNA. It was him. They used 23andMe. So now I'm going into some kind of database. I've never murdered anybody, you know, but who knows? You know, maybe there's some kind of mistake, you know? I mean, they might say, well, 1956 in Honolulu, Hawaii, there was this murder, and your DNA matches exactly the murderer's DNA. I'm like, 1956? I wasn't even born yet. The hell's this? Nope, you're guilty. Get in the electric chair. Shut the hell up. You know, put this bowl on your head. Put this sponge on your head. But, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. You know, if I was super paranoid, you know, I might have an issue with this. But I've done no murdering, so I reasonably feel I'll be okay. You know, I have a reasonable, you know, whatever. Good Lord. So anyway, so that's one of the other things we did this weekend. And finally, I'm gonna play a message that was left at the fantastic West Virginia Surf Report podcast hotline. That can be reached 24 hours a day, 570-290-8151. Leave a message, leave a question, leave a suggestion, and I'll probably include it in a future episode. I'll answer your question, or I'll respond to your suggestion. You know, whatever. This is a second timer. This is Jeremy, called once before. He has another question, and here it is.
Hey, Jeff, Jeremy again. I just have a question. Kind of curious if we can get an update on whatever happened to the translucents. They turn out to be serial killers or in a transgender noise experiment band, or what's going on with them weirdos. Also, I'd like to know if you still have the P.O. box down here in North Carolina, and we got all kinds of good golden elixir. Thought I might send a few your way. So let us know, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for calling. Let me see. The golden elixir part at the end. You know, I do not have a P.O. box in North Carolina. I do have a P.O. box here in Pennsylvania. Chinchilla, Pennsylvania, I might add. Had a little run-in with the local post office. I don't know how these things happen, but years ago, I had a P.O. box here in my town. And had it wasn't physical, but it was certainly verbal. And I told them I'd never set foot in there again. And they said, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to proceed, you know. How can we possibly continue on, you know. But I'm not going back in there. They can stick it up their ass. So I have a P.O. box in Chinchilla, which is a neighboring town. It's not even a town. I don't even know what you call it. But it's a small part in the road down there. And I got a P.O. box down there. I don't know. You can't be mailing beer through them. Can you do that? I don't know. But if you're interested in sending me beer, mister, you just drop me a line. I'll let you know what the P.O. box. And, you know, we can go down that route. But you asked me about the translucents. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm not real tapped into that world anymore. They don't come up here. I'm talking about Nancy Nostrils. The translucent children, they don't come visit much anymore. They're far down south, and we're far up north, and they're busy, you know, and we're busy, and all that. Tony talks to her. Tony talks to Nancy once a week. The only information I get is through her. I don't actually see any of them anymore. It's rare. Although I'm hearing that Nancy might be here soon for a quickie, like overnighter, on her way to somewhere else, but it'll just be her. But so I don't know the translucents. I don't hear much about them. The youngest one's probably in junior high. The middle one is in I think he's a senior in high school, and then the older one's in college. And I think the older one, I don't know what to say about him. And the middle one, he's the one that would be most interesting to us, you know, because he considers himself the master thespian. He does a lot of acting. He's done some modeling, maybe some niche modeling, I would assume. I don't know. I don't know how that world works. He does some modeling. He thinks he has like a YouTube channel that, oh my God, I wish I could share with you guys. Some good stuff, man. He's got an Instagram account that's blows my mind. So, yeah, he's definitely the one. He would you guys would love it. I can't share it. I mean, for obvious reasons. So, I don't know. I think they're nerds, you know. I mean, that's what I'd say. They're just, you know, none of them are serial killers or anything like that, but I'd say nerds, you know. And the middle one has a girlfriend, and I don't know, there's not much to report. So if Nancy comes and stays with us, you know, maybe we'll get some stories. I don't know, we'll see. So thanks again for calling, Jeremy. If you guys want to ask me a question, I'll probably answer it. 570-290-8151, the world famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast hotline. Give it a call. And if you want to get two of these episodes a week, you can do that too. That's over at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a monthly donation of $4 or more, and you'll gain access to a second show that comes out every week. That second show, which I call the Thursday show, which sometimes doesn't come out on Thursday, it comes out on other days, but it's known as the Thursday show. It's only accessible by folks who are patrons over at patreon.com/JeffK at the $4 level. So if you're interested in doubling down on these Surf Report podcasts, and I got a pretty good imagination. I can't come up with any scenario why you would not want to. But, you know, whatever. You know, it's completely up to you. It is available. That's at patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up. You put it on a credit card. $4 will do it. It'll unlock the audio. So you do it up if you're interested in hearing more of this quality material. And we're at the end of this thing. I hope you guys had a great great weekend like we did. I will be back on Thursday-ish over at Patreon. I'll see you then. Have a great one. Bye. Thing that stuck out in my mind so far is that open shitting trench with the ass bar.